The title of this year was Jews Have No Mazel. And some people didn't like that title. What? We don't have any mazel? We don't have any good luck? Now, mazel itself, the way we understand it, means luck. It could be mazel tov, it could be good luck, it could be mazel ra, it could be bad luck. So I'm not sure why people were so offended that Jews have no mazel. Maybe it's a good thing that we don't have mazel. So we altered a little bit and we said, Jews have no mazel, or do they? So that satisfies, I think, everyone. Whether you want mazel, don't want mazel, good mazel, bad mazel. Mazel fits into this month of Adar. Each month actually has its mazel. In the constellation that is in the heavens that Hashem has created with the creation of the world, there are 12 different mazalis which represent the months. And a very famous one is the month of Adar, which is mazal Adar is dogim, is that a fish. And something we will not dwell on tonight and focus on, but Haman, in the story of Purim, who was looking for the opportune month for him to be able to annihilate the Jews, the Medrash explains how he went through each month. Nisan, that was no good because the Jews have the Yom Tov of Pesach. That's too good for them. And he went from Nisan to Iyar, and Iyar wasn't good because they have the second Pesach. And Sivan wasn't good because that's when the Torah was given. And month by month, each one wasn't good. And finally he came to the last month, and that was Adar. He saw Adar has nothing good for the Jews. This must be the good month. And then he went through the constellation, the mazales, and he saw, what is the mazal of Adar? Indeed, it's a fish. And a small fish gets swallowed up by the big fish. That's the way of the ocean. That's the way of the seas. And that must be a good month for the Jews to be swallowed up by Haman. And the reason why he was wrong is because, as we'll see, Jews have no mazel. So now all of a sudden we're okay that we don't have any mazel. Jews have no mazel. What does that mean? The truth is, at first glance, it would seem that this question, do we have mazel, do we not have mazel, seems to be a matter of disagreement in the Gemara. The Gemara is in Masechta Shabbos, at the end of Masechta Shabbos, Kuf Nun Vav Amud Aleph. The Gemara tells us that Rabbi Chanina says that mazel machim, the reason why a person is smart, the reason why a person is born with great intellect, is because of mazel. Mazel has caused it, so to say. And mazel machim, the reason why a person is wealthy, is because he has good mazel, not because he is a great businessman, not because he made great decisions necessarily, but it's mazel, it's good luck. And good luck, as we'll use that term, but mazel is a better term. Good mazel is what decided if the person should be smart, if the person should be wealthy. V'yesh mazel Yisrael, that's an important statement. V'yesh mazel Yisrael, he says Jews do have mazel. Jews have mazel. Mazel can decide what will be for a Jew. And then comes the second opinion. Rabbi Yochanan says, no, ain't mazel Yisrael. So it seems at first glance that there's a dispute over here. This idea, if we have mazel, we don't have mazel, in other words, can mazel affect our lives or not, would seem this is a very clear disagreement between this Rabbi Chanina and Rabbi Yochanan here in the Gemara and Shabbos. This would follow as well with an additional Gemara. Gemara in Midah and Tazayin Amud Beis. The Gemara here says that before a person is born, actually before he's even conceived in its mother's womb, so the Malach, the angel that is in charge of conception, comes before Hashem, he flies before Hashem with a tipa, with a drop that is going to be From this tipa will be created this child. And he asks Hashem, how should I program this tipa? What should I do with it? How do I program it? No doubt, of course, nowadays they use computers for this, so it takes much faster. I don't know how they did in the old days. But he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how should I program this child? Gibor o Cholosh. Should it be mighty? Should it be weak? Chacham o Tipei. Should it be wise or should it be foolish? Oshir Oni. Should it be wealthy or should it be poor? And Hashem decides, and Hashem tells him exactly how he should program this child. And before a person is even born, it has been decided, it has been preordained. Should the person be intellectual? Should the person be wealthy? Should the person be physically strong? It's all decided. It has been decided right before the time of conception. The only thing that has been left undecided, the Gemara tells us, is Rasha Oy Tzadik. Whether the person will end up being a good person or not, whether the person will engage in doing mitzvahs or not, that is undecided, that is left open for the person to do. And Rashi tells us, Rashi adds this in his commentary here to the Gemara, Rashi says, Hakol bidei shemayim, as the Gemara says, everything has been predetermined from heaven. Kol midaisav, the person's personality. The kairaisav, and anything that will happen to the person in life has been set, has been already predetermined, preordained, and how the person is, his personality in terms of physical strength, how the person will look, whether he'll be smart or not, all has been taken care of. That Malach, who is in charge of conception, has asked Hashem and has been given orders how this child should be, and that's what happens. Whether the person will be good or not, will it be a Rasha or a Tzaddik, wicked or righteous, that's up to the person. If we combine this with the Gemara in the beginning of Sota, the Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Arboim Yoyim Kodim Yitziras Havlat, 40 days before the formation of a child. Again, everything before we're even born, before there's anyone cuddling with us and thinking, wow, this boy or this girl will grow up to be something great, before that is all even a thought. 40 days before the formation of a child, Bas Kol Yaitzeis, a voice from heaven rings out and says, Bas Pleini Lepleini. Don't worry about Shidduchim already before the person is born. We have to make sure that the right Shidduch is there. Bas Pleini Lepleini, that the daughter of so-and-so will marry so-and-so. This is what we call, at least one Yiddish word that's in everyone's vocabulary, Bashert. It's Bashert. It's predetermined already who the person will marry. Okay? That part of the Gemara everybody knows. The next line of the Gemara, I'm afraid everyone decided to close the Gemara before they read the next line. It's not semi-frightening, it's not bad mazel. We'll read the next line. The next line tells us that that same baskol, that same voice from heaven rings out and says, Bias ploni laploni. This house will be for this person. Before the person is even born, it has been decided where they will live. Now, in terms of the being able to pay the mortgage, that we saw from the Gemara before, whether the person will be wealthy or not. But where the person will live has been decided already. We can call it as bashert. And the Gemara goes further, Sadeh ploni laploni. The field of ploni will be to ploni. In other words, where the person will have his livelihood has already been decided. So really, essentially, if you combine these two Gemaras over here, these two Talmudic statements, what are they telling us? How the person will look. How physically strong or weak they will be. Whether they will be intellectual or not. Whether they will have a lot of money or not has been decided. Who they will marry, where they will live. Let me understand, a person doesn't live only in one house. He starts in a small house, maybe a rental, and then he buys, and then he buys a bigger house. And a person is not only married one time, they can be married multiple times. And a person doesn't only have one job in his life, a person can go on to multiple. That has all been decided. We're so nervous about these things, and nothing to be nervous about. Hashem has already inscribed it, it's taken care of, who will be married to, and how, everything has been decided.
Oh God, weirdness is incurable.
Now this is what we call mazel. This is mazel. And as when Hashem decided this person will be created like this, or this will happen to this person, that has all been decided. At the same time as the mazalos and the formation of the constellations as they were. And we don't have to be astrologers to understand what that means, but we can take the words of Chazal that the rabbis told us this has all been decided based on the mazel. In other words, if someone is wise enough to be able to read the patterns of the mazalos of the constellations, they can even know and they can predict and tell you what will happen to a certain person. This is only if you are of the opinion that we have mazel. That means that the mazel has determined, but it certainly seems that the mazel has determined. Yet on the other hand, we quoted an opinion that we don't have mazel. Rabbi Yochanan says, Ein mazel Yisrael, we don't have mazel. Does that mean that it has not been decided? Does that mean everything is open-ended? Does that mean that we weren't already, was not decided who the shidduch will be, is not decided what livelihood I'll have, and it's just all up to whether I'm good or not? Is that we have no mazel? Sounds like we would want to have mazel if it's at least good. But yet, so many opinions say ain mazel Yisrael, that we don't have mazel. What does that mean, don't have mazel? Rabbi Yochanan says that, and Rav says that, and Shmuel is of the opinion ain mazel Yisrael. So what does that mean, ain mazel Yisrael? There is no mazel, it hasn't been decided. There was no malach, there was no angel that said, asked Hashem, how should I program this child? No, that can't be. But let's listen to the continuation, the Gemara and Shabbos. Let's listen to what the Gemara says. Shmuel also was of the opinion, ain mazel Yisrael. Because the Gemara relates a story that Shmuel had a friend who was a non-Jew. This is not the only Gemara which tells us about Shmuel and his friend Avlat. Avlat and Shmuel were friends. The Gemara records conversations between the two. And this Avlat, who was a Gentile, was an extremely wise man. Not only was he an astrologer, someone who understood the position of the stars and the constellations, but he could even see on a person's face how it matches up to that mazel. Perhaps even he was even a greater chacham than Shmuel himself. And the two of them, Shmuel and Avli, were sitting together one day and a group of people passed by, and these were wood choppers going into the forest to chop wood for the day. And Avli comments to Shmuel and says, you see that guy? And he points somebody out. He says, he's going in and he's not coming back out. Today he's going to die. And this is what he saw. This is what he saw not only in the constellations, but this is what he saw on the face of this person. He had such an ability to even look into this person's face and know exactly what has been decided and predestined for him. Shmuel made one comment. And Shmuel says, Ibar Yisrael hu azov v'asi. If he's a Jew, don't know if he's a Jew, looks like all the other woodchoppers wearing those lumberjack shirts, those colorful shirts and those nice hats. But if he's a Jew, he said, then it's very possible he is coming out. You're wondering what happened at the end of the story. They continued talking, and at the end of the day, the woodchoppers emerged from the forest, one by one, and there is this woodchopper, the one that was pointed out that he wouldn't come back. There he is, carrying his bundle of wood on his shoulder, and to the amazement of Avlat, of the Gentile, what happened? How could this be? Is he losing his touch? So Shmuel also was surprised, actually, because Shmuel knew that Avlat was no faker, and he knew exactly what he saw was true. So Shmuel actually called the person over, and they saw that hanging out of one of the pieces of wood was a snake, a poisonous snake, which was chopped in half by the axe of this woodchopper. And Shmuel called the person over, and he says, "Tell me, what happened today? Tell me a good deed that you did today." And the man said, well, actually, well, we go in, we're woodchoppers, we go every day, and we're supposed to collect rations of food from one another, and everybody's supposed to put into the basket, and then we divide up the food. And it was my day to collect the food. I went around, and there was one of our fellow woodchoppers did not have any food that day. And to save him embarrassment, I actually just faked it out and put something from my own pocket into the basket and went on as if he had given it. And that's what I did. Why do you ask? And Shmuel said, now I understand. Now I understand why when you chop down with your axe, you cut the snake in half. The snake that was there, predestined already to kill you, you were saved. And Shmuel said, from here we see tzedakah hatzel mimavis. Righteous acts, charity, righteous deeds can even save someone from death. There's another story the Gemara brings. The Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva also was of the opinion ein mazel Yisrael. Rabbi Akiva also felt that mazel cannot have control over Jews. Why? And we'll see here, not that he didn't believe in mazalos, because an astrologer once told Rabbi Akiva, after his daughter was born, that your daughter is going to die on the day of her chuppah. Terrible news for Rabbi Akiva. Why he had to know this, I don't know. And he was frightened about it. Couldn't really do anything about it. What should he do? He probably davened that it shouldn't happen. But what could he do? This is what they said. The stargazers told him that his daughter is going to die in the day of her chuppah. The day of the chuppah came, and the daughter went to sleep the night before and woke up the next morning, the day of the chuppah. And she had taken out a pin that held her hair. She had taken it out of her hair the night before and stuck it into the wall right near her bed, as she always did every night. And when she took it out the morning of the chuppah, she noticed that the pin, the point of the pin, was stuck in between in the head of a snake. The snake that was set in the wall, set to bite her. And she came and she told her father, and Rabbi Akiva was elated, obviously, and saw this exactly what was supposed to happen, and she was saved. And he said, my daughter, what did you do? Tell me, what righteous act did you do yesterday? So she thought, and she says, actually, well, everybody was so busy with the wedding. Some things never change. The day of the wedding, everyone was just like hustle and bustle all around the house, and I was just sitting there and nothing to do, and I was finished with my makeup and my hair, and I was sitting there, and they brought me some food to eat. They brought me some dinner. And a poor person came to the door, knocked on the door, and everybody was so busy, no one even heard him, no one paid attention. And I saw he looked like very hungry. He looked very hungry, and I offered him my meal, and I gave the poor person my meal. Said Rabbi Akiva, unbelievable, tzedakah tatzel mimavis. A righteous act could save someone even from death. So now really we have to make heads and tails with these various opinions. It seems it's hard to say that there's really an outright machlokus, an outright disagreement, if yesh mazal Yisrael or ain mazal Yisrael. Has things been preordained already? Has things been decided from heaven? It seems clear that the Malach already has programmed us to each what we are, how we are, our personalities, how tall we'll be, how handsome we'll be, how wise we'll be. I can talk about anybody else if you want. So that has all been decided. Okay? And who will marry, and where we will live, and how we will earn a living, it's all been decided. And here we see these Gemaras tell us actually has been decided even terrible things that will happen to a person. Not good mazel, but bad mazel, if you will. Bad mazel, things that will happen. But yet we say, no, there is no mazel to Yisrael. So what ein mazel Yisrael really means is that as Jews, we can go beyond our mazel. We can surpass our mazel. Even though the mazel has been set, we can do things to overcome and go against that, Basil. As really these stories indicate. These stories indicate that even though it was already predetermined what should happen, and what day these people should die and how they should die, but since they did the right deed at the right time, which Hashem, of course, also in the Mazel puts and says, okay, I will give this person the opportunity. I'll give him the chance to overcome the Mazel. And with overcoming the Mazel by doing that right deed at the right time, one could go against what the Mazel has decided. So then, do we have mazel, or do we not have mazel? Jews have no mazel, or Jews have mazel? Maybe we're confused. We do have mazel, but yet the mazel doesn't have to be the final answer. It doesn't have to be that the mazel will be carried out. So I think that the disagreement over here, and the debate between Rabbi Chanina, who says there is mazel to Yisrael, and between Rabbi Yochanan, who says ain mazel to Yisrael, is just this. How much does it take to go against this mazel? What does it take on my part to go against my mazel? That is where the machlokus lies. And according to the opinion ain mazel to Yisrael, which it seems to be actually the majority of certainly the rabbis in the Gemara, the poskim even, that seems to be the majority opinion. Ein mazel Yisrael, which means that mazel does not have full control. We could control our mazel. We can go beyond what the mazel would say, and how the mazel has decided, and by doing the right thing, or davening the right way with prayer, we can go beyond the mazel. The difference is that if you're of the opinion Yesh Mazel Yisrael, then it takes a lot more to go against the Mazel. And we'll prove that in two ways. Number one, what did these people, there's two stories that we mentioned. There was a story about the woodchopper, the Jewish woodchopper, that Shmuel and his friend Avlai saw go into the forest. What did the person do? Did he jump off a building to save his friend? Did he give $1 million to tzedakah? What did he do to be worthy of not fulfilling his mazel? All he did was save a person from a little embarrassment. A great deed, indeed. It was a great act of righteousness. It was a tzedakah. But here we see tzedakah tatzim limavas, not that you have to give away all your money in order to be saved from near death. A simple act of kindness. Save the person. What did the daughter of Rabbi Akiva do? All she did was she offered a meal to a hungry person. It was a hungry Jew who came to the door. She offered her a meal. Perhaps she went to bed hungry. Yes, could be. Could be she went to bed hungry. But more than that, we don't see the great Mesiras Nefesh. What was she giving up already? She felt bad. She was the right thing to do. And she gave it. So that's if you're of the opinion, ain mazel Yisrael, that means that it may only take just a little bit. It may only take just the right deed at the right time when the opportunity presents itself. And Hashem does give us opportunities. Doesn't tell us when they are. Doesn't tell us, you know, here I'm giving you this opportunity. And sometimes we pass it up and we say, you know what, was that? Did I do the right thing? Maybe I should have. And one never knows. Or one says, you know, I did that thing, it wasn't even so great. Should I have done that? Like, what do I gain out of it? How much benefit do I have at this from the small deed? Well, if we understand the Gemara correctly, it could be that little small deed that we did could have saved us some great tragedies. But there's an opinion that says Yesh Mazel Yisrael. The Jews do have Mazel. How does that opinion fit with these stories that happen? So the way we're explaining is that indeed this opinion holds Yesh Mazel Yisrael. There is Mazel, it's been predetermined. And that Mazel is set so strongly that if for a person to go against that mazel, it's going to take a lot more. For example, the Gemara tells us that if one wants to become wise, then he should daven towards the south. As we read in last week's Parsha, the Torah told us about the Mishkan, the tabernacle in the desert, and there were different vessels in the tabernacle, and in the south was the menorah. The menorah, the candelabra, which represents great wisdom, Torah wisdom. So if one wants to be wise, daven towards the south. And if one wants to be wealthy, daven towards the north. Because what was in the north? The shulchan, the table where the bread was, represents parnasa. Daven towards the north. Okay. In your shul, people daven in different directions? No, just one. So Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachis and Afheyam Bebeis asks, what does that mean? Didn't we see the Gemara that says whether a person will be wise, whether a person will be wealthy? Wasn't that predetermined already? What is this supposed to mean? If you're now you're already well into your life, and now you decide, you know what, I'm going to do something that will make... Does that change? Could that change? So Rabbeinu Yonah says that it's talking actually about two different scenarios. One scenario could be that it's the parents of this child, before the child is even conceived, and before the child has been programmed by the angel of how it should be, the parents have the opportunity to pray the child should be very wise, or the child should be able to earn a good livelihood, or the child should be physically strong. At that moment, the parents could daven for the child because it has not yet been set. The mazel has not been preordained yet. And at that point, it's much easier to daven for the situation to be in the way that a person would want it to be. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, however, after the fact, a person can also change that. But it's going to be much harder. Once it's been set, once the mazel has been determined, now it's much harder to change it. Yes, can we change it? Can we change what has been predetermined? One can change it. But then it's much harder. An example to this is, we know the Gemara tells us in Sanhedrin that a person should always daven. A person should always ask and request and beg Hashem before he has a particular problem, then already after the problem is there. Once the problem is present, once he is already dealing with the predicament in his life, then the tefillos that he needs are much greater. Before it happens, the tefillah is more readily accepted. The person doesn't need, whether it's in quality or quantity, the tefillos at that point, before it happens, the person does not need as much. And the same here Rabbeinu Yonah is explaining, before the mazel has been set, in this case, before a child is born, a person can ask Hashem, I request that the child should be such and such, that the child to be born, to myself, to my children, should be wise, should be strong, should be wealthy. Once it already has happened, once the child is born, then a person can also daven. Once a person already is an adult, a person can also daven. But at that point, it's much harder. To change it, it will take a lot more. And I think this is the way we could explain the opinion that says, Ein mazel Yisrael, where it's much easier to change the mazel. As we saw from those stories, it didn't take much to just alter the mazel entirely. And then there's an opinion, Yesh Mazel Yisrael. We do have mazel. The mazel is so strong that it is very difficult. But yes, can be changed, but it will take a lot more to change. Okay.
So the davening, is this before you're actually pregnant or during the pregnancy?
It will be even beforehand. That's right. As an example, this as an aside. For example, when the Gemara says a person should always daven before the problem comes in. If a person always davens that he should remain healthy, okay, so the davening will not have to be as strong as once he's already sick, and then has to daven to get better. Okay? If we want to explain that, okay, just just explain that point, okay, very quickly. We understand the point of davening, the point of tefillah, why Hashem wants us to ask Him for things, is that we should recognize always that we are helpless individuals, and only Hashem will determine anything that will be in our lives. Whether we'll be healthy, or whether we'll be sick, or whether we'll get better. Only Hashem. The idea of davening is to recognize this fact. When we say someone should have kavana in davening, he should have full concentration and focus in davening, what that means is that he has to focus that he is a helpless individual without Hashem wanting this thing to happen. So, once a person is sick, then he has to say, "Oh Hashem, I know you, I'm sick, but I need you to get me better, I need a refuah shleima, please help this person who's sick, please help me who's sick." That already takes the greatest strength. The tefillah has to have more potency to it in order to overcome that. But if the person is not even sick yet, he's not in any problematic situation, he's not in a predicament, he says, "Hashem, I know I am helpless without you, and I know all the health that you give me only comes from you. Please continue to bless me with health." Then Hashem says, "You know what? I don't have to make the person sick because he's already satisfying the whole idea of tefillah. The whole point of davening is I want them to realize that it's only me who controls everything in the world. So if they're davening before they're even sick, there's no point in making them sick." This is actually based on a medrash when the Jews left Egypt. Okay? Ooh, we're really digressing. When the Jews left Egypt, when they were in Egypt and they were in slavery, so they had to daven to Hashem. By Yitzhak ben Yisrael, El Hashem. They daven to Hashem, and Hashem saved them. And then they went out of Egypt, and they're on the way, they think, just right towards Eretz Yisrael. And Paro comes and chases them. Paro comes and chases them. And they say, "Oh my goodness, Hashem, you have to help us again." So the Medrash says, this could be compared to the following story. There was once a king walking in a forest with his small army, and he hears a helpless girl calling out because she has been attacked by bandits in the forest. And she says, "Help me, somebody help me, somebody help me." So he sends his soldiers to go help, and they chase away the ugly thieves and they save the girl. And what happens? And what happens? She comes to the king and says, "Oh, thank you, king. You saved my life. I owe everything to you. Thank you so much." And then she's on her way. And she goes off. And the king says to himself, "You know, I really felt good when that girl needed my help and called out to me and screamed for my help. And I don't have that now. And she's gone, and she's not coming and thanking me anymore, and she's not continuously saying that she owes her life to me, and I miss that." So he tells his soldiers, "Go get those ugly thieves again and send them against the girl." And they did that, and then she screams, "Oh, help me, the king, help me." And the king saves her again, and the king says, "This is exactly what I wanted. I just wanted you to scream out to me. I just wanted to hear your voice again." This is based on a pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Hashmi'ini es kolech, ki kolech orev umarech naveh. Hashem says, "I want to hear your voice. Because when I heard your voice in Egypt, when you were in a predicament, you called out to me. And you realized it's only me who can help you. You're helpless without me." And then you left Egypt and you said, "You know, that was hard stuff, that davening. You know, we can't do this every day. You know, then we're able to do it, you know, but I think we're taking a break." Hashem says, "You missed the point. That's all I wanted from you. You're taking a break. That means you're cutting me out of the picture. That's what I wanted." So Hashem sent Paro after them. Paro's after them, and they call out to Hashem again. Hashem says, "That's exactly what I wanted." So that's the whole idea of tefillah. So when we daven before we're in the problem, Hashem says, "I don't have to put them in the predicament in the first place. I don't have to force them into davening, because they're davening on their own initiative." They don't have to be motivated to daven if they're davening by themselves. They don't have to be shown that they're helpless without me if they understand they're helpless without me. So that's the idea of davening before even a tzara, a problem, would come into a person's life. Then we understand that already at that point the person does need to daven more, because he needs sort of more grace from Hashem, and perhaps even a bigger miracle to get out of that. And that's why the tefillah has to be greater. And the same is true with mazel. We all have mazel. And the mazel has decided many things in our life. Before it happens, it is easier to change it. Once it has happened, it can change, but it's harder. So the opinion that says, Ein mazel Yisrael, could be it takes one small deed, one small act of tzedakah, to change that mazel. And the other opinion was, Yesh mazel Yisrael, could be it will take more than one small act of tzedakah to change that mazel. Are we all clear on this point? Okay? Point is, this year is we should go away learning something. To be able to not just throw out a lot of Gemaras, then we forget all of them. It has to be clear. Okay? And I'll stay afterwards for your dozen questions. That's fine. So we understand up until this point that indeed everyone has a mazel. And everything has been preordained and predetermined in a person's life personally, and what will happen to him and how things will happen in his life. And yet that could be changed. That all could be changed with the proper deeds. That could all be changed with the proper davening. It could all be changed. And that's how we conclude, Ein mazel Yisrael. We don't have any mazel. In other words, the mazel that has been set does not take control of us. We control our mazel. We can go beyond our mazel. We can go above our mazel. Ein mazel Yisrael. Just as the Jews at the time of Purim. The mazel for them in the month of Adar indeed looked very gloomy. But when they gathered strength, and they davened properly, and they learned Torah properly, and they fasted properly, then Hashem heard their tefillos, and He changed that mazel for us. So mazel could always be changed. Except for one situation. Whoever wants to leave now, before we get to the exception case.
Well, are you going to take like 45 seconds so I can hit the ladies room? Don't disclose the secret until I come back.
The one exception is, based on a Gemara in Tainis, Adav Chaf Hei Amid Aleph. The Gemara tells us a story about a great tzaddik. And we know he's a great tzaddik from the Gemara, and as we'll see from the story, he was a great tzaddik. His name was Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas was so poor that he scarcely had enough food to feed himself. And he was emaciated. And there was a time when he had to have a small procedure done. And because he had to eat certain food, and he had a certain reaction to the food, because he was so emaciated and not used to that food, and he fell unconscious. And the other rabbis came to visit him, and they saw him in his comatose state, that he was crying, and then he was laughing, and then sparks came out of his forehead. Not an everyday occurrence, but this was a great tzaddik, I assure you. And when he finally came to, when he awoke, they asked him, please explain, what was the crying about? What was the laughing about? So Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas explained to them that he went before the heavenly throne. He went before Hashem, and he said that I complained to Hashem. I said, Hashem, I mean, how long does this have to go on? I mean, how destitute do I have to be? I'm in utter poverty, and to the extent that I am physically ill, and I ate this thing, and I became sick from it, how long does this have to be? Could you change my mazel, Hashem? And then he said, that's what I asked Hashem. Hashem, could you change my mazel? And I was crying to him. And Hashem said, well, if you want me to start the entire world over and recreate the world and start creating every person again with his neshama or her neshama, particular to him or her, if you want me to start it all over, then maybe you will be blessed to be born in a good mazel. If you want, I could do that. And Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas thought about it, and he said, have I lived already longer than I still have left to live? Or the opposite? And Hashem says, you already have lived longer than the years you still have left to live. And Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas says, in that case, I will remain like this. And Hashem says, because you decided on this, why Hashem was happy with him, and Hashem showed him some of his reward in the world to come. And that was part of the smiling, that was part of the sparks coming out, of part of the reward that he was going to merit in the world to come. Fascinating piece of Talmud. You do agree? Yes.
Give the dog your breeze.
Thank you. But we have to ask ourselves, was there a problem that Hashem couldn't just change the mazel at that moment? Hashem was able to save the Jewish woodchopper. Hashem was able to save the daughter of Rabbi Akiva because she did just a small righteous act. Couldn't Hashem say, okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, tomorrow when you wake up, I'm going to present you with a mitzvah opportunity to do tzedakah, and then you will find a sack full of gold in your possession? Why couldn't Hashem do that? Hashem's not able to do that. Hashem said, oh, no, I have to change the world from beginning of creation, and then maybe you'll be born in a different mazel. Wait, Hashem couldn't change the mazel over here? So now we have to explain this Gemara, and then this will sort of round out the topic of when a mazel could be changed and when a mazel can't be changed. We all understand that each of us are born in this world with a particular task and a mission to fulfill. Our neshama, whether we understand it's just a small, tiny piece of the neshama of Adam HaRishon, the first person, or whether it's a full neshama, or whether we are, and this is very important, as we'll see from the Vilna Gaon, or we are reincarnated already because our neshama has already been here once or twice or more, and we're coming back again. Sort of refurbished, you know, it's cheaper that way. And we have all a mission to fulfill that our neshama has to fulfill in this world, that Hashem expects from us and Hashem will demand from us. Based on that mission that we have, that is what Hashem instructs to the Malach, this angel that's in charge of conception. He says, oh, this person, well, I need him to give a lot of tzedakah. So yes, make him very wealthy. I need this person to teach a lot of Torah, so make him very wise. I need this person to be able to do a lot of chesed, make him very physically strong. And in Hashem's plan of how He wants every person to fulfill His mission in this world, that is how He sets the mazel for each person. But whether a person is strong or whether a person is very weak, or a person is wise or not, they still have to fulfill their mission. And if Hashem wants to make a person poor and weak, then that is how Hashem wants this person to live his life and yet serve Hashem, whether it's for the person himself, whether it's others to learn from him, whether it's to bring out a greater Kiddush Hashem in the end. But that is the way how Hashem wants this person to serve Hashem in this world, with only those, call it, limited capabilities. If that is the task and the mission of this person and his neshama, that can't be changed. Hashem says, if you want that to change, then we have to start the world over. Because then in my whole plan of the world and the master plan of every single neshama that's going to be born, of every Jew in this world, then I have to start over. And maybe you'll be born in a different mazel. We'll give two short examples of this. On Yom Kippur, they bring into the Beis HaMikdash, into the temple, they bring two goats that look the same height, and each of them stand at one side of the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And he has a box with two wooden small planks inside, and one of them says to Hashem, and the other one says La'azazel to the mountain. And he places, whichever one he picks up with his right hand, places on the goat at the right, and he takes out his left hand and places on the goat to his left, and he says, this goat will be a sacrifice to Hashem, and this goat will be taken out by a Kohen to a mountain and be thrown down the mountain and killed in a gruesome way. Now, if we think to ourselves, does the goat that's being a wonderful sacrifice in the Beis HaMikdash, in the holy place, is it serving Hashem any better than the goat that's being thrown off the mountain and being splattered? No. We understand this is what Hashem wants from this goat, this is what Hashem wants from this goat. There's another story with animals. And we understand the story with animals are to teach us human beings a lesson. We have a couple here to teach us some lessons as well. It's a story with Eliyahu HaNavi, Elijah the prophet, who had a showdown with the prophets of idolatry. There were those who believed in idolatry, and Eliyahu was in the minority group, a prophet who believed only in Hashem. And they had a showdown on the mountain, Har HaKarmel, and Eliyahu finally told them, listen, we have to, because the Jewish people didn't know who they should follow, who's right, who are the real prophets, who are the false ones. Eliyahu HaNavi says, we're going to have a showdown. And each of us will bring a sacrifice, and whichever God sends the fire down to consume the sacrifice, then we know He's the real God. And they brought two calves, twins, identical twins. And Eliyahu said to the false prophets, he says, okay, choose your weapon. He says, choose your calf to bring as a korban. And they said, okay, we choose that one over there. And the calf didn't budge, didn't move. And they came over and they tried to schlep it. They tried to pull it. It didn't move. So Eliyahu HaNavi went over to the calf, the Medrash records for us, and says, why are you not going? So the calf opened its mouth. This is not the first time that an animal spoke. We know already from the Torah that there were animals that spoke. And the calf said in front of everyone that my brother and I were in the same womb in our mother's, in the calf's womb. And we were both born the same day. And why am I chosen to go to the idolaters and he's going to be chosen to go to Hashem? I don't think that's fair. So Eliyahu HaNavi had to explain to the calf that no, you, with what you're doing, that you're going to the idol worshippers. And indeed, it's going to make a mockery out of them. Because they're going to call, as the Navi describes for us, they're going to call to their gods and they're going to scream to the gods and to no avail. No one's going to be listening because their gods couldn't answer them. But through that, you're going to be Mikadosh Hashem. You're going to sanctify God's name through that. And it says to the point where Eliyahu HaNavi gave over the calf to the Navi Abal, to the prophets of the Baal of the idol. So some of us are the calf going up to Hashem, and some of us are sort of given a different mission in life. And in the case of Beleza ben Pedas, it didn't look so rosy, his lot in life. But that's the idea of Eizehu Asher Sameach Bechilko, his portion. What is my portion? And a person has to know what his portion is. And that's something a person has to come to terms with. A person has to come to terms with, yes, we're all smart, and hopefully we have some ashiras, we have some wealth, whether it's monetary wealth, or whether it's wealth in other areas, and we use that to the best of our ability. And within our job, within sort of our own mission statement, things can be changed and we can dive into things and they can get better. Or we can dive in things that they should not get worse, or they shouldn't happen in the first place, any terrible things. That's certainly all true. Ein mazal Yisrael, that we understand. But there has to come a time where a person has to know, sort of, what is my calling in life? And the on a practical level, that means as follows. And we'll conclude with this. Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, he actually showed us, he is the teacher for us at this point. Because it seems he wasn't aware of himself. To know that this is his mazel, and it's not supposed to change. There's a certain mazel that a person has that's not supposed to change. And a person tries to change it, the Vilna Gaon says that it's going to be, his efforts will be futile, because he will never reach his goal. For example, we'll give an extreme example. If a person is born, God forbid, without a leg, only is born with one leg, so should the person daven his whole life, Hashem, make a miracle and give me two functioning legs so I should be able to clean up the shul after davening every Shabbos? I should be able to put away all the siddurim? I should be able to set up the kiddush for davening? Because he sees, look at all these wonderful people doing all this, these acts of chesed, and they're able to run around, they have two functioning legs and I don't. The Vilna Gaon says, from that jealousy, by looking at other people and say, wow, I would really want to be like those people. They will dive in their whole life, he says, that Hashem should give them that extra leg. And it's futile, because Hashem wants this person to do his mission and fulfill his task in life only with one leg. So the Vilna Gaon says he'll end up sort of, both ends he'll be missing, because he won't be fulfilling his mission, and he'll keep davening and davening to no avail. It will be futile. He won't be answered in that way. So that's an extreme example. But a person has to come to terms sort of with understanding themselves and with the setting in life that Hashem has dealt to them, in the mazel that they have in life. And once they can become comfortable, and I use the word comfortable to understand their calling in life, that they shouldn't dive into change. Within their calling, within their understanding of how they should fulfill their mission in life, of what Hashem expects from them, indeed, in that realm they can daven. They can daven for a little bit extra money, they can daven for a little bit wiser, to be a little bit wiser, that they can daven for. To have greater strength, that they can daven for. But if a person was born limited, in whatever way, however what way they feel they're limited, and honestly with themselves, no, I'm limited in this way, you know, but I see that person. Okay, and another example can be given that they see, you know, that person gives so much charity, gives so much tzedakah. I really want, and they dive in their whole life, Hashem, I really want to be that billionaire that's able to support so many different institutions, worthy institutions, and they're davening their whole life, and they're missing out on really focusing on what they were supposed to be doing. They're really focusing that they're supposed to channel their thoughts, their energies, to other things in life. Again, an extreme example, maybe more closer to home, but it stems from, the Vilna Gaon says, it stems from that they're looking at somebody else and saying, you know what, I'm the cow that's going to the idol worshippers. I don't want that. I want to be the cow that's going to the carbon to Hashem. The Vilna Gaon explains this, the backdrop for this is that we are all Gilgulim. We are all neshamas that have already gone through this world. And there's a certain, still, certain part of the mission that has to be fulfilled. And that's why Hashem has sent us again. And with this he explains the famous question, how could it be there's a righteous person and yet he has a rough life? And he explains it very simple. This is based on the Zohar. Says the Vilna Gaon, it's because that in his previous Gilgul, in his previous life, he had served Hashem to a certain capacity, but he still had some left to do. And because he had some left to do, Hashem has put him, let's say, in a situation of many hardships. And he now is being a tzaddik. And we look at the person, look at this, he's living in this world 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And he seems to be such a righteous person. And yet Hashem has dealt him such hardships. The Malagon says, if you look at it from the Zohar's perspective, that's because his mission was only to fulfill this amount with these hardships. Indeed, the fact that he's righteous is because he is fulfilling his task to its totality. Do not to feel bad for him. This is what he's supposed to be. This also answers again as an aside, but just to hopefully it will explain this as well. There are people born with great deficiencies, sometimes great illnesses, that make them tremendously incapable of doing some things. And we wonder, like, what are they supposed to do? How much are they supposed to accomplish in life? And sometimes it's just that. Sometimes you have a person who lived his life in a previous Gilgal tremendously. And he was such a tzaddik, he was such a righteous person that he had fulfilled, let's say, 95% of his mission that he had to fulfill. But there was that 5 or 10% that he felt had still left undone, it's unfulfilled. And Hashem says, I want to give him his full reward in Olam Haba. So I'm going to send him down again. You know why? Because there were a few times in Shul where he should have said Amen and he was talking. Terrible. He should lose out on the great eternal reward because a few times he was supposed to say Amen, he didn't. So Hashem says, I will let him come down again. But what, he should come down as the same person, that great person with great talents and qualities to live that life again? No. Hashem makes him very little, puts him into a body that's maybe highly dysfunctional, but is able to at least come to shul at certain times and say Amen when he's not talking. And with that, he fulfills and completes what his neshama needed. So to summarize very quickly, every person has a mazel. Yes, we do have mazel. Everything has been predetermined based on what we have to fulfill, based on our Gilgal, based on our neshama that's in the world this time. And we have to become comfortable with that and understand our abilities, understand our limits, and understand not to shortchange ourselves, understand how much we could extend ourselves to do just that, to do what we have to in this world to serve Hashem. And within that capacity, that we can't change. Not to spend time dwelling on, I would have liked that, I want to be someone else, I could have had a different lot in life. No, that we have to be satisfied, sameach b'chalko, that we have to be satisfied with. Within our understanding of what we have to do, certainly we could always daven. Should be a little bit better here. The mazel may have dealt me out something hard, I could daven for that, and we could always surpass our mazel. Sometimes the mazel is just here to challenge us. And sometimes it's a small act, it's a small tzedakah that we do that could change the mazel entirely. Sometimes it takes even a greater effort to change the mazel. But the Ein Mazel Yisrael tells us we could always overcome those areas of mazel. Those areas of where we think that will be hard if we persevere in terms of doing the right thing, doing the righteous acts, davening properly, that we could always overcome our mazel. Ein Mazel Yisrael. I hope that we have at least enlightened some of you in terms of this topic of mazel, or geish mazel, ein mazel Yisrael, with a greater understanding going forward and knowing what we have to do, and we should have the siyata d'shmaya to be able to fulfill our missions in life.